Fairly well. Bertie here. I'm Bertie Hoel. I'm a member of the local Belgium's chapter of the Open Knowledge Foundation. I've been involved in Open Badges since a couple of years. And now working with Serge Gravet also on the concept of open recognition.
Great, thank you. Sherry Duncan?
Yeah, hi, Sherry Duncan. I'm the COO and co-founder of Dominode. And our mission is professional sovereign identity. And so the credentials and occupational credentials and verifiable claims is really critical for us.
Excellent. And Marcus Gilling.
Marcus, looked like you unmuted on Zoom, but maybe not on your device.
We might come back to him. Let's see. We have Carrie Mike Zhu.
I don't know if Carrie's going to go, but this is Mike. Hi, I'm with a company called Consensus. We do Ethereum venture productions, and I work with the Academy team and Uport to do self-sovereign identity on the Ethereum blockchain. And I specifically am looking into doing educational credentials on top of that.
Excellent. We're very interested in talking about sort of Uport and decentralized identifiers framework here as well. So Randy McDonald.
Sure. Randy McDonald here. I work for the Oregon Computer Science Teachers Association, and we are just starting to use digital badges to recognize professional development and also to teach teachers to use them in K through 12 education.
Great. RJ.
Hi, I'm RJ. I'm with a group of developers working in Singapore, working on educational credentialing. So Mike's colleague actually sent me here to have a listen. I'm quite new to the 3D thing.
Excellent, thank you. Let's see, I think-
Looks like we might hear Marcus's microphone now.
Oh.
Hey Marcus, are you available for an introduction?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, look at that. Hi, everyone. I'm Marcus Gilling. I'm with IMS Global, where I work, amongst other things, in the Open Badges work group, which, as probably most of you know, is where Open Badges 2.0 is taken care of these days.
Great. Thanks for joining. And I think I missed Ricardo Cosme.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm here, but my computer crashed. This introduction phase. I'm with Dominode, and we're currently working with verifiable claims and data exchange patterns, so this is a very interesting group to be part of and to see what's been discussed and brought over for proposals.
Great, thank you. And last and certainly not least, Serge Rivet.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm delighted to see this group taking shape. I've always believed that open badges were much more than something for the educational sector, and I saw the work done in the verifiable claim group as full of potential. And so I'm very excited to try to contribute to this group.
Great, thank you so much. And we have Phil Barker.
Hello, yes, I'm Phil Barker. I work as a consultant in educational technology. I also chair a W3C community group, which is looking at how you could describe educational and occupational credentials using schema.org.
Excellent. That's I'm very glad to have you here. So next part, we should have a scribe for the remaining parts of the meeting. Again, this is sort of a new, Carrie volunteered. Thank you very much, Carrie. So for those who are new to this process, just a quick reminder that scribing will be happening in this IRC channel, which is part of the CCG group. In general, we try to pass around the responsibility. So let's get started. I have a quick presentation, but I think for this initial meeting, I think we're more interested in getting a sort of broader understanding about what problems the people in the group are interested in solving. So I'll give a sort of quick rundown of what we've done so far as sort of, this is actually the first kickoff meeting of this group, but it's sort of forming from work that Nate, Carrie, and I, in conjunction with a lot of you, have been doing over many years. I'm actually very new compared to many of you guys. So I think that, a lot of the things we've been working on are very sort of technical schema in nature. I think we got to a point where we wanted to understand more about use cases, and that's where we thought it would be a great opportunity to start bringing in a larger group. Let me bring up my presentation. Okay, so first of all, if you are not able to see the screen, I'm sharing my presentation here. And one second. Can you guys see my screen?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay, so this is an awkwardly named group for the moment, Educational Occupational Verifiable Credentials. We'll hopefully find something shorter and snappier. The reason we're calling it a task force, it's actually very informal. The credentials community group has a sort of broader scope than a lot of W3C groups. We're sort of more like a standard schema incubation group. And so we focus a lot on use cases, prototypes, and things like that. Oddly, the credentials community group and a lot of things that spun off from it were motivated by educational scenarios. But then the more we went along, the less we sort of kept, bringing new use cases into it. And so the interesting thing is that, education and occupational verifiable credentials are sort of a ripe source of use cases, yet in the verifiable credentials, sort of examples that you see out, a lot of them are the driver's license and things like that. And we realized that, we wanted to sort of bring that source into the verifiable credentials and related efforts. And the reason for that is, as you all know, I know all the groups here are very passionate about, identity, recipient ownership of their own credentials. And a lot of the credentials, like say a driver's license, that's a state issued thing. It's sort of on the state's terms, things like that. And while the verifiable credentials privacy spectrum allows for, a wide range of use cases and, privacy considerations, it's really important to actually flow these use cases through and make sure we're really understanding the life cycle of these. So we wanted to start this group to, again, we wanted to generate requirements, use cases, and possibly draft specs that will later be formalized with appropriate standards groups. So, our priorities are exploring the problem space with a group of people who are, very already deeply in this space, drafting use cases, creating specification schema drafts and prototypes, and getting broader community feedback. How this started was actually a very kind of maybe simple in a way problem that Nate and I have been discussing for about a year now. But interested in interoperability of open badges and verifiable credentials. And the way that we thought of it is a verifiable credentials envelope for open badges. And, you know, we kicked around some samples for a long time. I'm sure I forwarded them to many of you. We realized that there's a lot of, how do you say, longevity concerns and making sure that we need to pick the right model. So while this is a more straightforward kind of effort, you know, it's important to iterate on it in the community to get feedback from, you know, the verifiable credentials and open badges angles. And while, you know, ultimately IMS owns the open badges spec, you know, we want to make sure to get things to a point where if we propose this, you know, as an open badge, not extension, but next version of the open badges schema, that it's well baked enough that, you know, it's something that IMS can sort of confidently take on and back as the next schema. So related to that, and maybe an extension of that is, oh, actually I skipped over the idea of, so verifiable credentials use various signature and verification means based on JSON-LD signature suites. And there's a lot of suites available, one of which is the one that allows anchoring to blockchains, but, you know, not just blockchains, there's, you know, more standard like RSA signature suites. And so one of the things that benefits from interoperability of open badges and verifiable claims is if open badges can reuse the same verifiable credentials verification means. So that's something that we are talking about very soon, prototyping as an extension to the Open Badges validator. Then extending on that even further is, so key to verifiable credentials as identifiers are what's referred to as decentralized identifiers. And that's a whole other topic that we'll get more into later, but essentially, it's got a lot of nice properties for strong identification on both the issuer and recipient side. And so we want to see, we want to carry that into the open badges world as well. Now, here's one that I'm very new to it, but we're also, you know, as we started talking to Carrie more, we started being interested in the credential engine registry, and it's I notice on the site it's called a credentialing marketplace, but really the focus is, you know, there it seems to be a pretty rich ecosystem and of sort of credential schemas, I guess. So wouldn't it be great to reuse this? And I'll skip over it since I don't really know it that well, and you know, come back to it, maybe actually get Stuart to talk more to it. The other things that quickly came up as we started exploring this more and more are just things that sort of more like either expressiveness or use case kind of world. So, you know, amending an assertion, an open badge assertion with further evidence, a living badge, which we'll get back to, verifiable evidence. The idea of the evidence provider, let's see, identification of evidence provider, right. The idea of the evidence provider being a different entity to identify, you know, other than the issuer recipient, countersigned credentials. And this comes up a lot. I'm sure most of us have been, you know, if not already, very interested in sort of GDPR compliance and privacy considerations. I noticed a plus one in there. So yeah, this is something that I think I'm very interested in terms of recipient, you know, recipient-centric credentials. And last slide is what else? Because we just skimmed the surface with this. I think, again, we've been, in terms of the focus of under this charter so far, it's been pretty much the first thing that I covered, which would be verifiable credentials, open badge alignment. That's something that we sort of knew exactly what we want to do. So we just want to do it and get, you know, sort of feedback on that. But then in terms of all these other efforts, they're sort of longer lead things, but we want to, you know, sort of follow the W3C credentials community group style of, you know, trying to make progress on these things, identifying things that either are very pressing problems, you know, and or the things that we think would be easy to tackle that maybe they don't technically belong in a standards body, but we can maybe get some clarity on it for, you know, further elaboration. That's it for now. Let me just double check IRC. Okay, so one thing I wanted to note, we're sort of a smaller group than the credentials community group, and I see a lot of you on IRC. We usually use the queue in IRC, so to add yourself to the queue if you want to talk, just do Q plus to add yourself. But I noticed we also have the Zoom one as well. So, okay, excellent. Adrian's on the queue. Adrian?
Yes, unmuted. I'm, you know, I've been to a couple of meetings of the Verifiable Credentials group where, but I'm late to the party in terms of the open badges background. Can somebody sort of say what the business issue is that the open badges, I'm not familiar with the educational, you know, the educational business market as it relates to this, and what, yeah, kind of what are open, what caused the open badges, what's the business problem being solved, that kind of thing, just so I can catch up to this linkage. I understand the DID part and the verifiable credential stuff, but I don't have the background on open badges.
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, we have a lot of open badge experts on the phone. So either, you know, sort of raise your hand or add yourself to the queue or just speak up if you want to answer.
Hey, this is Nate. I'll just speak up. So I've been involved in open badges since 2012. Basically, a digital badge is a visual token of some kind of defined achievement where there's a image component to date that represents an achievement, and then there's detailed metadata about what the criteria is. They're issued by a specific party. So imagine a after-school club awards open badges to recognize specific levels of achievement in their basketball league, different skills. You've got your jump shot, you got your, probably not a dunk for an after-school club, but 5 free throws in a row, things like that. They're a defined achievement. And then the claim that you make, if you're thinking of it from the verifiable claims world, is that a recipient of a badge holds a particular achievement, and this is conferred by the issuer, the creator of that achievement. And so the business case for open badges, as I see them, is to, you know, have an ecosystem of specific defined credentials that are available, and then understand, you know, who holds what credentials, what do these mean in terms of job value, put them on your resume, things like that. They're shareable, verifiable, and they've been around since 2011 or so. They originally were created by the Mozilla Foundation with support from the MacArthur Foundation, and now they are under the auspices of IMS Global Standards Body. And feel free to add to that if anyone else has comment.
I actually do. So Adrian, one of the things that's compelling about open badges is the actual adoption in the wild. So that's one angle, you know, how do you say, Learning Machine and Block Certs are very open badges based. But then we started picking from the verifiable credentials framework in terms of signature suites. And so, you know, one of the things that we started being interested in is the idea of, you know, given that a lot of these open badges will be existing in the wild, a lot of educational, you know, credentialing providers use that format already. it would be compelling to let the recipients be able to reuse this this different sort of envelope.
I'm much more interested. My question was more around the business issues, not the technical ones. So I'm kind of aware, at least in medicine, but I think also in healthcare, two kinds of issues. One of them is managing reputation, you know, such as like, you know, for contributing to whatever, an open source project, let's say, or an initial coin offering. And the other case is managing credentials in the sense of like the National Student Clearinghouse, right, where an institution literally pays for some intermediary to do something, which I only very vaguely understand. So my question around the open badges was more around what is the business interest that's driving this? You know, I can certainly speak to it from the healthcare perspective, but I'm not understanding it at all when it comes to education.
Got it. And I can come back to that, but I notice Serge is on the queue, so I'm going to let him speak because he'll be talking to this area as well.
Well, I think it's not just a question of business. It's a question of use cases. It's basically to give people the power to recognize other people, and so it doesn't just stay within the hands of institutions. So what is the exact business case behind that is to be discussed, but there is a real need and we can see it today. And one of the things why I was very interested in the work done by the Verifiable Claims Group is that there are a number of use cases that can't be supported today with open badges as they are. Well, they could be supported with verifiable claims. Very simple thing, very, very basic use case is the process today to get a badge, it is issued by someone. You can first sign the badge and say, I would like to have this badge. And then later on, the issuer or the validator would say, yes, now I give you the badge to you. That is, you can't display the badge before it has been issued. You can say, I'm working towards that. And because the thing is now, the issuing is done in the issuing platform, but I would like to be able to claim a badge without having to go through an issuing platform. So basically I would like to sign it and say, I'm working toward that badge. And this is something that the verifiable claim should be able to do. Well, the badge as it is today can't do because it is built on a model of traditional credentials, which is there is an issuer and a recipient. But we can have one issuer and maybe 50 recipients or 1,000 recipients signing the same token. There are so many use cases that are not possible today with badges that only verifiable claims will open the possibility to.
And one thing I wanted to add to what Serge was saying, so Learning Machine is exactly in the space of, sort of working with educational providers on solving, specific use cases to Serge's point. And what's interesting is from even the issuer side or the sort of education provider side, a big thing that they are interested in is addressing inefficiencies with maintaining and verifying records. So in many cases, you know, if it's the education institution themselves, you know, they don't necessarily want to be in the business of if it's their registrar's office being contacted about the records or, you know, the sort of cost and maybe inefficiencies of working with a clearinghouse. So the other thing that is, I would say, probably more recipient-centric, well, obviously the ability to sort of share and independently verify for recipients is powerful. But one thing that we're also seeing more and more of is education institutions that just go out of business. And you just sort of have no way to prove anything in today's world. That's something that the institutions themselves probably don't want to think about, but it's something that is very interesting for these things that are lifelong credentials. I wanted to see if there's anyone else who wanted to speak to that. Carrie, I'll scribe for you. Are you muted? Carrie?
She appears to be muted.
Okay, skip her. Okay. And actually, well, add yourself to the queue or raise your hand if you have further comments. The one other area that I wanted to get to, since Stuart Sutton is on the phone, on the line, is to give maybe a quick intro to CE, Credential Engine Registry, for people who aren't familiar with it.
Sure. The Credential Engines in the U.S. is a 501c3 nonprofit that was born out of some Lumina funding to bring some transparency to the credentialing ecosystem. Credentials being defined very, very broadly, from badges through degree programs to certifications and so forth. So it's broadly defined. And the goal was, based on a rich set of use cases, to develop a rich descriptive language in order to describe credentials. And we launched recently. There was about a 2-year development period. We launched recently, and a number of people have been participants in that, in the development process. Carrie has, and Nate Otto, and Phil Barker, and a few others here on the line. The distinction, I do want to draw a distinction, since we're talking about badges here, and try to position the CTDL, the credential transparency description language, and the resulting data in the context of badges. What we target in the target descriptions for us are what would be the equivalent of the badge class. We do not do assertions. We don't cover assertions, but the goal for us was to provide the means for richly describing credentials. We then also have the Credential Engine Registry, which is a repository an open repository where descriptions based on the CTDL can be deposited. But that's basically it. So I've been around the credentials community group for a long time too, although I've had time conflicts and it's been months since I was in a meeting, joined a call. But I'm very, very interested, because we're both in the same badges, open badges and Credential Engine. We're all in the same ecosystem. And we want to be good players in that ecosystem and support, so for example, a badge might need to refer to richer description, it could, and that we're not stepping on each other's toes or doing things that render us sort of not interoperable. So I think that's probably, and Carrie and Nate Otto can speak to that, but we've been trying to coordinate. So I've whittled out finally some time to join and join the discussions. So anyway, that's sort of what it is.
Great. And I notice we have Carrie on the queue again. Carrie, you want to give it another go?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
So sorry, I don't know where Zoom went on my mini monitors here. I wanted to come back to business models for open badges, if you don't mind. And also, I hope I'm doing okay transcribing, doing my best here.
You're doing great.
Thanks. Some other business use cases would be professional development, just straight up, like, you know, folks are doing things like teachers, nurses, any kinds of professionals who are doing any kind of professional development. They are using open badges as representations of their professional development. And that could be continuing education or even just on that, right? And that we've seen a lot of use of open badges in after-school programs and also in informal settings. And I think the informal settings is probably where open badges are most powerful because they are challenging the use of recognition in ways that they haven't been used before. Right. So for instance, one of my favorite use cases that I would love to see more of is in open source communities. So how does participation in networks and open source communities, how does a recognition of that work evolve to those folks, you know, getting better jobs or, you know, aligning with their motivations and why they do open source. So open badges is really broad. So it's hard to explain because while it can be a digital credential that can represent anything, including something formal, it can also represent something super informal. And I think the tie-in with the verifiable claims makes it possible that we have this long-term verifiability for things that are informal because they're important in our lives too. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to tack on to what Stuart was saying about CER. So again, I'm not very familiar with it. One thing I will come clean about is I never wanted to be involved in any standards groups, period, but here I am. And the reason is that, so, you know, we're a small company. We wanted to, you know, give credentials. We wanted to use a format that is, you know, useful for the recipients in terms of, you know, being long lived, you know, especially as our product starts expanding. We're in the case where we're already seeing people want to use different well-known vocabularies. And we don't really want to be in that business of, you know, sort of understanding deeply all these different domains. I like the idea of something like the Credential Engine Registry in that, you know, you're sort of having this marketplace of things that are, you know, you let the subject matter experts take care of each one. So I also like Stuart's point of, you know, working together, but even for like sort of the lazy people like me, it's also like, you know, it gives a good pit of success for implementers. You know, we can more easily point people to sort of the best, you know, sort of the best for each thing, you know, whether that's the sort of verification method, the vocabulary, et cetera. So that's sort of my angle. I wanted to see if anyone else was on the queue real fast. Or any raised hands I haven't noticed. J.E. Borsel?
Yes, that's me, Bert, Bertjehoel. I wanted to make a use case that I would like to mention is it's about the flexibility of the badge class actually. So what I would like to see is the fact that a badge class can be issued by anyone actually. So for the people from the open badge community, that would mean that the issuer, which is now a part of the badge class, would be more the creator than the issuer. And my question is a bit how hardly linked is this to the alignment between verifiable credentials and open badges? Is this a condition to make it happen or is it an option?
Nate, do you want to speak to that?
Could you repeat the question just real quick? I didn't quite get the important part,
so,
I think.
So for the flexibility of the batch class, so now in the open batches, the batch class, you define the issuer and it's presumed that the batch class is only issued by that issuer. So the question actually is making the batch class more flexible so that anyone can issue any batch class something which is
perfect question.
We have to do for the alignment with our verifiable credential, or is it an optional thing which is in discussion?
So I don't think it's required. First of all, so the model of where open badges, an issuer defines an achievement as a badge class, and then recognizes individual recipients with assertions of that achievement. That works very well for a large number of use cases. And for many of those use cases, we have to preserve the trust relationship. We have to know that the person who's publishing the assertion is the issuer or is authorized by the issuer. There are other use cases that open badges don't yet serve, which are around general purpose achievements that anyone could assert. You know, here is just a generic description of mastering a specific competency. Anyone might assert that. It's created, this was authored by a particular, this badge class was authored by a particular issuer, but maybe they allow everyone to issue it. We're doing some, part of this actually, we haven't gotten into what we're actually going to build or prototype in this group, but one of the things that we're working on right now is a paper on something that we're calling peer claims, which is prototyping ways that an issuer of a badge class can declare other issuers to be able to award the assertion in order to cover use cases where that makes sense, either to declare it's open for anyone to issue or to declare that these specific other entities can be trusted to be issuers of it. They're deputized by the original creator. And I think that is a balance that preserves both the use cases that require you to really trust that the issuer actually is the person who defined the credential or is authorized by them, as well as the use cases that you're talking about that are emerging, where it would be nice for anyone in the world to be able to sort of recognize peers with a particular achievement, and that achievement should be identified as being the same thing, even as it's awarded by many different parties. Does that answer the question?
Yes, I think so. So that for me, it's maybe, Nate, is it a difference between seeing the badge class as something formal or something informal, or is it not related in your eyes?
I think both of these use cases cut across the formal and informal boundary. Probably we'll see more formal use cases on the sort of more restrictive side and more informal use cases on the less restrictive side. But I think there are reasons to choose both options for both formal and informal recognition.
Okay.
Adrian, you're next on the queue.
Yes, I am very, very close to this this particular question that was posed in the following sense. In our use case, the issuer of a credential can be a credentialed physician. So let me give you the specific example. That was one of the original rebooting Web of Trust use cases. In order to prescribe controlled substance, one way that the drug and DEA, the federal government, allows you to do that is if there is somebody else involved, another physician with a DEA registration, that in effect is countersigning or vouching for the fact that you're a real physician, that they looked at your driver's license. And so it's also kind of the model of, if you're going to go visit Saudi Arabia, all you need to get a visa is a citizen inside Saudi Arabia saying, I'm going to vouch for this person, and now you can get a visa. So this ability of not having the credentials, the verifiable credentials, issued only by institutions, but to be issued by credentialed individuals themselves, is central to the healthcare use case, because all of the economic activity in healthcare is based on the signature and the credential of the individual person. So this distinction that was just made is exactly the sort of central business issue, if you want to think about it, in what we're doing with HIE of One and in the healthcare space.
Great, thank you, Adrian. In the remaining time, let me just double check. Is anyone on the queue in either place that I missed? Okay.
I don't think so.
So we have about 15 minutes left. I think for the next phase, what we were thinking is, you know, sitting around a Google form kind of poll sort of thing to gauge interest. Like, it'll probably be a combination of, you know, themes you're interested in, but given the small amount of people who are, you know, very deeply in this space, I think that we'll rely pretty heavily on a sort of free form text entry, you know, ask what sort of problems that you'd like to have solved. And then we can clean it up, send it around to the group. And in the next meeting, we'd like to talk more about, you know, how do we start carving up issues to actually make progress on? And we can do that in different ways. You know, for example, with the verifiable credential open badge alignment, we know pretty specifically what we want to do in terms of the papers, the prototypes. And, you know, we'd be interested in bringing in people for, you know, for review of it, or if they want to help in any way. But then, you know, some people may be more interested in, you know, like whether it's use cases or, you know, some other areas. So I'd like to sort of identify groupings of work items we could do and start picking off. Probably each week, going forward, we'll try to do it topic-based. So, you know, for example, if it's something that, a topic that you're totally not interested in, say you don't care about the open badge verifiable credential schema alignment, you know, you don't have to go to that one. You can just sort of show up to the ones you're most interested in. But, you know, we know this is a great group of people here, and so we want to make the best use of your time, and we want you to be selfish and sort of saying like what you would like to get solved so that we can help make that happen. In the last 10 minutes, I actually just wanted to see, get initial thoughts free form on, you know, what is the most interesting thing that you would like to be solved now. And, you know, no pressure if you need more time to think about it. Nate's on the queue.
Cool, thanks. So I will post a link to a paper that is almost ready for review. This is what, I'll post it in Zoom as well. What Kim and I and contributors wrote at the Rebooting Web of Trust 6 workshop. It is our prototypes for how to deliver an open badge assertion as a verifiable credential using linked data signatures, and then some discussion of DIDs as the decentralized identifiers as recipient or issuer identifiers, ending with a set of user stories for existing software in open badges roles that needs to. Here are the capabilities that we need to update for software in these different roles in order to be able to fulfill the use cases described earlier in the paper. This is now in editorial. It'll be published as a Rebooting Web of Trust paper sometime this spring, probably, Northern Hemisphere spring. And but it's ready for commentary from folks like you, because the next phase that we need to do is actual prototypes on software in those different roles to make those user stories real. There are two different options for how we do the signatures and the envelope itself in the paper. And so in this revision, there'll be two options. We'll basically do a round of prototyping, get feedback from great people such as yourselves, and prove that one of these options is successful. And then we'll revise the paper to sort of cut out the other option and sort of present it as, and change it up as needed so it can become input to standardization bodies such as IMS Global's Open Badges Work Group. Once we prove that it is possible to serve these use cases, and then we, you know, we can develop the business case for them, why we want to do it, and provide the description to the existing Open Badges standardization community about the expectations for the verifiable credentials ecosystem that will grow up and the advantages for doing it this way. So this paper is ready for review. One action item that members of today's call could take over the next 2 weeks is to review it, put in comments, as needed via, I guess Kim can suggest what communication channel we should discuss this over, probably the credentials community group mailing list.
That's right. Yeah, let's use the credential community group mailing list for any discussion. If we start to find that we're too chatty and we need to move elsewhere, we'll deal with that later. But for now, the mailing list is not super overwhelmed. So yeah. Anyone else? Oh yeah, one thing that I neglected to mention at the beginning. So the meetings, all the W3C CCG meetings are, you need to sign an IP release, which you can do by joining the credentials community group. That helps make sure that we can develop these standards in an open way that, you know the drill. So yeah, I think the rule is if you're not able to sign the release, then you're not able to contribute. But I think you can listen in or something like that. So yeah, I guess I won't get into that hypothetical. Let's see. I'm curious to hear from some of the people with Dominode about what sort of use cases you are interested in.
So Sherry here. Thanks for asking, Kim. It's good to hear from you again. So Dominode is trying to bridge the gap from where we are today to where we think that we will be 10 years from now with digital identity. And one of the things you didn't mention and I was going to get clarity on is this these self-issued claims. So I claim I have a degree from this university and that at some point in the future that gets verified. And I don't know if the open badges support something like that or if this is already something you guys are looking at. But we're trying to figure out how we, you know, not every university is going to be issuing these credentials right away. And so how do we get from here to there? And part of ours is that, you know, I say that I've graduated from this university. I scan in my my diploma, what have you. And then at some point along the way, somebody else verifies that, whether it's the university later because it shows up in the block certs or whether it's, in our case, a regulator who's trying to verify my identity in general, and they go through and they make calls to the university and they verify that credential is valid. So I just wondered if you guys were doing this self-claiming stuff at all, if that's supported at all.
Yeah, and I noticed Nate sent a response in Zoom. Nate, do you want to repeat it?
Yeah, so Serge mentioned earlier his desire for some use cases that were self-asserted. He mentioned particularly progress toward a credential that was defined by someone else, but progress toward could in fact be self-asserting that I've completed it. As early participants in this ecosystem, you know, we're 7 years in, but this is still early. We have not taken over the world yet. We need to know that there are many, many achievements out there that are not yet recognized by verifiable credentials in any of these specs. And we need to build our tools and our standards to understand that probably 99% of the achievements that any one individual has are not recognized yet by one of these technologies, but still give them that on-ramp into being able to use them usefully. So the Open Badges community is considering things like this, and I think this group would be a great place to sort of talk about these use cases and start really fleshing them out. It's not really a capability that Open Badges has yet, but one example is Badger, our tool that we're building here at Concentric Sky. We're building Badger Pathways, and the first wave of features is all about tracking progress of groups through specific badges that are already defined through the specific earning mechanism that there is. But the second wave of features we want to build later this year is really all about an employer posting a job profile and then a applicant filling in that profile with credentials that they've held and also self-asserted representations of experience. And so I think that's pretty darn close to what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Nate.
Adrian, you're next on the queue.
I have a quick suggestion of something that we might take up here. and that is revocation. Revocation is something that I think, and certainly in the DID and the verifiable credentials work groups, is on the margin. I don't know how to say it. You know, it's not, it doesn't drive the central issues of the data model, for example, and the security model and the signatures, but it looms very large in the overall use case. And I believe that this is going to be an issue that can help us to bring together the unique requirements of badges, the verifiable credentials, and DIDs. And so I just, it's generic, obviously, and I'd like to suggest that as one possible thing we could take up.
So I am wholeheartedly agreeing with that. I think one of the things that's interesting, as you know, one of the vendors that are actually, you know, sort of releasing these credentials into the wild is, you know, in the sort of specifications or verifiable credentials sort of main focus, you know, we always punt on revocation. You know, we talk about it from a very theoretical perspective, but, you know, ultimately a lot of the examples are showing, you know, not necessarily the best practices with revocation lists. And there's a lot of privacy considerations that come up in the revocation means that you pick, a lot of potential centralization points. So yes, I'm super eager to sort of push forward these things that happen when people are actually using these credentials in the wild. So yes, I'm actually going to add that to the queue. And you know, one thing I might add on would be things like, because cryptographic keys are so fundamental in, you know, sort of the verification parts, another thing that we think a lot about is, if you need to, you know, following best practices of rotating the keys, if you need to revoke them, things like that, and the impact of thing of those things on the verification process. So, you know, it's sort of something that is talked about around the edges, but it would be good to have more eyes on it, you know, especially since we're all sort of interested in these, you know, what's currently considered fringe problems. So yeah, that's a wholehearted yes. So we have just a minute left. And so I guess I don't see anyone else in the queue, so we'll close off there. Expect to see a poll. I'm gonna send it to the credentials community group, but we'll try to hunt all the attendees down individually, either just in case you're not on it, or if you know your filters are aggressive as mine are sometimes. Thank you very much everyone for joining today. And the goal is to have these every other week. So we'll be sending out an agenda for the next meeting. Expect the next one to be probably more follow-up on the combination of poll results and feedback that we've gotten from you offline. Thanks again, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, Carrie.